in terms of playing it back?
If you have tapes, that you can get tapes, would they fit in any machine?
Oh, yes, they could be played on any machine. Mm-hmm. Would you like copies of the tapes?
Oh, I would love to have them.
Fine,
how
I could.
How much are they?
Oh, don't worry about that. I can get my school to copy them without any problem at all.
Oh, I just love that. I was interviewed by the University of Virginia.
Oh.
And I haven't gotten those tapes. I want to send for them, but I don't know what to ask for in the way of fitting in a machine. I don't have a machine, but people around here have them.
Yeah, any cassette, any, as long as it's a regular cassette tape recorder, you should be able to play
cassette.
It back.
Mm-hmm. They are, they have a, what they call an oral history
mm-hmm.
department, and this man, well, he happened to be a friend of mine. I knew him as a rather young man when I was at the university, but I didn't know him well at all. And since then, he is a friend, so he's known of my name through the friends, you see.
What is his name?
He was doing the 1920, people of the 1920s period, and he wanted to interview me about my work there at the university.
Oh.
And those two things were very outstanding, the fact that it was the first year that women were employed and women were enfranchised, and also the first year that women were admitted to the university. And we had, I think it was 27 women at the university that year, and they were, they could not come to the university unless they'd had 2 years of college and
mm-hmm.
were of a certain age, which was a very good idea in starting in,
yeah.
at least. And 10 of them got degrees, one of them a PhD, one of them a medical degree, doctor of medicine. Of course, she'd had much training
mm-hmm.
elsewhere first. And but 5 of those 10 were BS in education. They tried to push them in education as much as they could that year.
Mm.
So, and now, in 2 or 3 years ago, whenever I made this, comparison, 40% of the women in the university are, of the people in the university are women.
Hmm.
So is that growth
yeah.
in that, 20 or 30 year period?
What is his name?
Charles Moran.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking tapes, you see,
mm-hmm.
of, he's what they call oral history.
Right, that's what, yeah, that's what my project for years was as an oral history project.
Oh yes,
mm-hmm.
oh yes. Well, that was what he
mm-hmm.
was doing for the university, and he was doing it for that particular period of the 20s.
I see, of the
all
university.
The different things that were developing. You see, one thing that we did at the university was to have this Weeks Institute of Citizenship
mm-hmm.
in the summertime, and that really eventually developed into the Institute of Public Affairs, which they had at the university for a 2-week period, all through a good many years after that, but this was the beginning of it for
mm-hmm.
several years. And then I used to publish the papers afterward, work the papers up. And
oh, like the proceedings?
And the proceedings
mm-hmm.
of it, or the addresses, rather.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a business
mm-hmm.
proceedings type thing, but the addresses.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I also wrote some of the university bulletins, one on laws of Virginia as they affect women and children. And laws, there was another law, the laws of election laws, they affect women.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you just one last question, Mary Elizabeth. By the time you came to the Bureau, the fight with the National Women's Party over the Equal Rights Amendment had already occurred, and much of that ongoing debate between the Bureau and the party over protective legislation had kind of come to a standstill, hadn't it, or was there still some remnants of that?
That big study of effects of labor legislation on women was supposed to be a backlash to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that was done before I
mm-hmm.
came to the Bureau. And Miss Anderson, of course, had very strong feelings always.
Mm-hmm.
And she wouldn't, if she were here now, I don't think she'd accept the Equal Rights
mm-hmm.
Amendment. I don't know that she wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Equal Rights Amendment's going to have any detrimental effect on women's legislation, because now, all through the period, you see, there's been that push, they want for labor legislation to be a unit for mm-hmm. everybody,
mm-hmm.
and that's all right as far right. as it goes. But the thing was, at that time, you could work for labor legislation, you could work for shorter hours for women, but it wouldn't be an unheard of thing to work for shorter hours for men.
Mm-hmm.
At the time when she was operating,
right.
And the women were in a lot of a lot of occupations where the lowest rates were paid, and also in which they were not taken into the unions, mm-hmm. not accepted into the unions. And all of those things were very, very strong in her background, you see. And, of course, I had not had a very intensive connection with labor things particularly, and yet, of course, did think it was important to have these mm-hmm. these laws, which later, you see, women entered the unions in much larger number. The change came at the time of the war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the change
yeah.
was beginning and going, developing from the time of the war on, and especially after World War II, more and more and mm-hmm. more.
But by the time you came
so
to the Bureau,
that thing is rather antiquated.
Right. And by the time you came to the Bureau, all of that fight that had started in 25 at that conference and that big study were all over with, there probably wasn't too much...
Yes, but there was that intensive background feeling always mm-hmm. in Miss Anderson's personality, because she was essentially and originally and all through the years a labor person,
mm-hmm.
which of course I was not,
mm-hmm.
And yet... And I don't think she ever would have gotten over that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had the experience of a number of appearances in, I don't know if she appeared personally, but whether in Congress, you see, against it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were the women's organizations, and many of them were against it at
mm-hmm.
that time.
Right.
And then they changed the wording, of course. That was another thing that made a great deal of difference. I don't know just when that was done.
Mm-hmm.
But the wording now would not be restrictive, I would suppose. But it isn't a particular thing that I'm all excited about, because I don't think it's going to do as much good as they think, and I think it's going to engender a tremendous lot of intricate legislation mm-hmm. and legalization and all of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of thing that we'd like to get rid of if we could. But and yet, on the other hand, it's always good to have a principle in the law. So I just don't take... Now, a friend of mine who is... she's not active now. She's much too old and... But she's always very interested. But she is very, very adamant, would be very adamant against it even now, who was very active in the Virginia League of Women Voters. She was one of the great leaders there at one stage. And she would be very much opposed and has even in recent years appeared against it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course everybody thinks, well, that's an old fogey, you see. And yet, there's a definite background for
mm-hmm.
it,
right.
as you know.
Yeah.
So I've not been taking any position,
mm-hmm.
made any public stand at all, one way or the other on it. Never had to, excepting that, of course, I did know of the fights in Congress where there was much opposition by
mm-hmm.
many of the women's groups,
mm-hmm.
and I went to those hearings once or twice, and they were very interesting, but. So that was the, and of course the people in the Business and Professional Women's Club have the opposite point of view. They are all for it,
right.
which is as it should be in mm-hmm. this society that we have now. Different
world.
You have to adjust to different periods of society for all of these different things. There are changes. What is it? Somebody says nothing so constant as change.
Shall we end on that note then?